Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I'm bringing Hassel back.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now. Tim, we were just discussing the two kind of philosophies going into the NFL draft, of the Titans being conservative, staying back at 11, maybe even trading back if there's a willing trade partner, picking up a position of need, an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, a DB, so on and so forth. And then the other philosophy of go for it, get your quarterback, go up, move up, trade up, do whatever you have to do in order to get your guy. What is your personal philosophy on how you think GM should approach the draft and trading up, trading back, staying put, and going for a quarterback, even if it's not necessarily a position of need?
Yeah, I think you should always try to do what's best for your team and your organization. And so I think the rub ends up when, you know, the GM or head coach, is already, feeling some heat and some pressure. And so because of that, the best interest of the team, especially long term, isn't necessarily, what's guiding the decisions that are being made. Instead, it's, okay, who can we get right now that would help us right now this season? What is our biggest hole? Let's go ahead and fill it. Are we reaching for this player a little bit? Maybe we are. Like, I think that's where, things kind of go wrong. But I think, in a perfect environment, Carolina, what I would say is you have a head coach and general manager who feel good about their standing in the organization, and they're able to really stay true to and trust their scouting department to say, we love this player, he's still there, let's go get him. Or, look, we feel good about our roster at this point, we're okay to even move back, accumulate more picks. So, I think that is one of the biggest challenges that people face in terms of, hey, what should we do? I think the pressure on the people who ultimately will lose their jobs because of the pick, I think a lot of times dictates the pick.
Now, Jim, of the two quarterbacks, Richardson and Levis, which one of these guys do you believe will end up falling a little bit further than what many may expect? And whichever guy you choose, would it be because of, say, Richardson's unknown rather than Levis's known? We know a little bit of what Levis is because he has a bigger body of work, and we really don't know, what Richardson is because his body of work is so small.
Yeah, I would say that Richardson, if you said, okay, which guy maybe slides a little bit further than you would have anticipated, it's exactly what you're saying, the evidence of him as a player. Now, I say that, and I think we all know that personnel people get so enamored with potential. And, so I could be reading that wrong. I mean, you look at what happened with Trey Lance. I mean, the Niners moved heaven and earth to move up to get him. So, that would be my guess on it. But I just would say this. I thought Schefter had an interesting comment yesterday, or at some point this week, I guess, saying that, he doesn't think that two quarterbacks will be gone by the time the Colts pick, or he said something to that effect. And look, if that ends up being the case, then, yeah, I don't know that there'll be this mad rush to climb over each other inside the top 10, top 7, whatever it may be. to have four quarterbacks get drafted.
Now, if Adam is right, and you know only one quarterback is selected within the top three, mm-hmm. so we would assume that you know Houston goes outside of what a lot of people right. think and chooses a defensive guy because they got a defensive coach, because of where he come from, defenses first rather than taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Adam is saying. And then, you know, obviously you get to three and, you know, that's not quarterback, you would think. And then, you know, so then at that point you say, all right, well, now we maybe are talking about, okay, well, like how is Stroud viewed? And do people think that the Colts would go that direction? And if so, does that mean that somebody's trying to get in front of the Indianapolis Colts? So, yeah, I think that, you know, that part of it ends up being fascinating. And I would just say this, and look, you and I have both been in this kind of business long enough to know that, look, Adam Schefter he's the best at what he does. And he's right a lot. So, and he typically, you know, is not forecasting things. You know, he's typically, you know, reporting on things. So I think that when he says something, and it's, you know, it wasn't, you know, kind of a manufactured segment of, like, hey, give me some crazy bold prediction, then I think that there's probably, you know, a lot of merit to it and would give it a lot of credence. So, look, if that ends up being the case, I think that could – look, I actually think quarterbacks not going early, you know, would, you know, kind of change the way I feel a little bit about, you know, the directions I think that the Titans may end up going. I mean, let's face it, if, you know, if you get outside the top 10 and only two quarterbacks have been taken, then, yeah, I think the conversation about grabbing a quarterback starts to change drastically at that point.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, I've always been curious, and this is probably hard for you to answer, but do you feel like some teams use an Adam Schefter or somebody that's got a lot of weight, and you put Adam at the top of the list, mm-hmm. of being able to sort of cloud the prediction part of it, right? It just seems so easy yeah. to say, well, this they're going to take this guy – and then the two top quarterbacks are going to go 1 and 2. I mean, I sit here and I say, how could that not be the case for yeah. those two teams? But to create a little bit of doubt, you could use Adam Schefter as
sure.
the way to throw people off. Do you think that happens sometimes?
Oh, there's no doubt I think it happens. I think I talked with you guys before about, you know, I was talking to I was at a pro day one time, and I was talking to a head coach, a guy that I had a very good relationship with, and I thought we just were kind of talking, you know, about the quarterbacks that were coming out. And, you know, he told me how he felt about the quarterbacks and specific quarterbacks. And then they drafted a quarterback. And I remember being like, oh, my gosh, like, they were my feelings. I was like, I thought we were boys. Like, you lie to me? Like, use me? Like, and not because, you know, I somehow am, like, changing the narrative of somebody, but let's say I am talking to Adam or Chris Mortensen or someone else that's doing our NFL coverage, and I say, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and this is what he told me about the quarterbacks. Like, and so do I think that happens? Yeah, there's no doubt that I think it happens. And I think that the guys that are really good at, you know, the people that are really good at, you know, those jobs, you know, are able to kind of sort through the – hey, they're trying to lead me down this direction and kind of use me to do that versus not. And look, I can just tell you, and I've seen it happen. I've seen teams, you know, reach out to insiders and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, like, I'll give you a good example. I remember Reggie Wayne was about to be a free agent, and I remember I was with an insider at the time, and somebody called and was like, hey, what do you think the market is for Reggie Wayne? You know, I think teams are reaching out and saying, like, hey, have you heard anything about what the interest out there is? So I think that So to answer your question, Willie, yes, but I think teams also have to be careful with how they do it because they get a lot of good information.
Right, right. You want to trade that information. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a rumors game. More with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
All right, Tim. I know as you continue to get closer and closer to the draft. By the way, why don't they just have the draft this week or last week? I mean, aren't we ready? Like, how much more are we going to learn about these guys?
They need one more mock draft.
Just, maybe two or three for some of these guys. They still got time. But are you finding, like, maybe if you could pick a quarterback that you have changed your opinion on more than anybody else from the time you started your evaluation till now, who would that be?
Who I changed the way I felt.
Well,
about
I mean,
him?
Maybe you just have learned more than you than anybody else. You're like, man, I started here, and then after really doing my homework here, I feel a lot different about this guy.
Yeah. So, to answer that question, like, and I think I've said this to you guys before. Is like, so here's a good example. Like, I feel like I've got a pretty good sense of Hendon Hooker. It was one of the reasons why, like, I feel like I kind of posed the question of like, hey, why is he outside the group? And now part of that is because, I saw him play, and I had him, prior to him ever getting to Tennessee. And so, with that, the preconceived notions I have of him, were positive going into it. But so the guy that I would say has changed for me, and it's still a big question mark for me, would be Anthony Richardson. And I say that because didn't see him a lot. I'd see, some of him playing like while I was getting ready to call a game or I was traveling, his game was on, something like that. Like I'd see a couple plays on a TV, copy of him. Knew that he was obviously really physically talented, but like didn't know how good, right? And I would say this, for a guy that has 13 starts, he probably has a better understanding of things than I would have given him credit for having, right? And so, I think I've kind of used the comparison to Trey Lance a few times. I felt like with Lance, there was such little like evidence of him because, the school he played at, it was obviously not the same level of competition. It was in an offense that was really, really good at running the football. And truthfully, is like the Alabama of kind of the group of schools that they play with.
Right.
And so,
usually have an edge talent over the teams they play. Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, listen, Easton Stick tore it up playing for North Dakota State. Like, that's what's happened there, the history of the quarterback since Carson Wentz. So, so with that, I would say that Anthony Richardson, I do think, is probably more prepared than I went into it thinking he would be.
Tim, there's a philosophical article, I think it was, and it was backed by analytics, that the numbers will show that the teams that trade down to get more assets win the trade more often than not. Do you feel like that a lot of teams maybe should pay more attention to those numbers?
I mean, I think so because, look, I think we all agree. I don't care what round you're picking in. It feels like it's a 50-50 proposition at any point, right? I mean, that's just how it feels. And so with that, I think it's just like law of averages on this. Well, if I pick 10 times instead of 7, I have a chance to get some of these right. And I think that there was a stat one time we used this a while ago at ESPN, but essentially, there were more like when we looked at active rosters, like at a certain season, there were more undrafted free agents on active rosters than there were guys that were drafted in the first or second round. And it was like, wait a second. Now I get it. Like you only have, one first round pick and you could sign, 10, undrafted free agents, but all those guys are making the roster. Like, so you're telling me that there's more undrafted free agents than there are guys like in some of these later rounds and stuff. I think it just goes to, speak to like the inexact science of evaluating players, drafting them, figuring out how they fit on your football team. And Look, I think there's the other aspect of it is kind of like the chip on your shoulder mentality of, hey, I wasn't drafted high.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us playing a little game of puzzle here. Referencing Adam Schefter's report, he said that maybe Indianapolis could be sitting there with the pick of the litter between C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, looking at Bryce Young's decision that he made today that he is not meeting with any more teams. He's only met with Houston and Carolina. It kind of seems like the consensus around town is Bryce Young's going number one to Carolina.
It does, and I'm pretty sure that Adam – I think kind of even, you know, put a stake in the ground a little bit saying that he was going to be the pick. So, I think Willie kind of started off this segment with it. Like, hey, can we just get there already? I feel like the hay's in the barn.
I feel like the hay is in the barn.
A lot of this stuff, right? And so, look, the draft just happens to be this weekend, but ultimately, like, how you feel about somebody, you go through the process, it probably confirms what you saw on tape, like, hey, we're drafting this guy. And, you know, while there is, you know, some misleading, lying, whatever you want to call it, going on, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, I think the tape is 90% of the evaluation, and that stuff is all done, you know, shortly after the college season is finished.
Now, Tim, what do you think about Davis Mills, Houston Texans quarterback? And I know you that hasn't been your priority to sort of scout him because of the draft that's going on. And the only reason I asked you that question is, one, we have talked about Houston and potentially them not taking a quarterback a few days ago. Caroline and I and Willie and I, but then you brought it up, you know, again with the Adam Schefter and whatnot. So do you, and I ask you that because maybe, just maybe, D'Amico Ryans is thinking, listen, we're bringing in Bobby Slowick, who was the passing game coordinator in San Francisco. We saw what they did with Brock Purdy. We saw what they did with Garoppolo. And because we kind of figure any quarterback, halfway decent quarterback you put in this position with Shanahan, they're going to do good. So maybe they can be thinking that about Davis Mills as well. We get him underneath this system, teach him the things we want, and then be able to ride another year, possibly even longer, while building this team.
Well, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibilities. It could be something that they are, you know, definitely – you know, thinking about doing. I mean, look, he did not have a great year this past year. I don't think the team had a great year this past year. Could they continue to try to build around him? Sure. Could they draft a quarterback a little bit later? Yeah. And the reality of that situation is Davis Mills, Case Keenum, they have E.J. Perry, who signed as a free agent with, I believe, Jacksonville, and then had an injury settlement. Like, I don't feel like they think their starter's on their roster. And, look, just because that's how it's made up right now doesn't mean there can't be more movement. Doesn't mean there isn't somebody else added to the mix. But look, D'Amico, this goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier too, D-Mace. Like, D'Amico Ryans doesn't have to have a great year this year. And so I think taking it on the chin in year one to then be able to build off of it, you know, the following year, that's okay, too, because, well, I'll just give you an example. If they are the worst team in the NFL draft, I'll say, now, I think Drake May is the first overall pick next year. I think Drake May, I think he's going to check every single box. I think he's that impressive. He's had 1 year as a starter, but I'm telling you, he's that impressive. And so if you're the Houston Texans, you go, look, we can draft somebody that we like, don't love, like say that's how they feel about Stroud. Or, listen, let's just take our medicine and be in the mix for Drake May or Caleb Williams a year from now.
ESPN analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, Jalen Hurts just inked a massive, massive deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you think of the deal for Jalen Hurts, and what kind of – how did that change the market for quarterbacks moving forward?
Yeah. Listen, I how do I feel about it? I love it for Hurts from the standpoint of, like, he proved it. You know, his story is amazing. And look, when somebody is kind of like, you know, set up to, like, hey, like, if he would have fallen on his face this year, they'd have cut him. They'd have moved on. Who knows what his NFL future would have been. He delivered in a big way, and he's rewarded for it. I mean, like, literally generational changing money for Jalen Hurts. And so I love it. In terms of how do I think it affects the quarterback market, it was not a guaranteed contract. And all this talk about these contracts needing to be fully guaranteed because of what happened with Watson, I think it provides more clarity when you look at what happened with Kyler Murray, when you look at what happened with the Hurts deal. Like, the fully guaranteed contract, like, that's not the answer. The answer is, truthfully, the amount of guarantee you get, the cash flow over the first 3 years, and the total value of the deal. Those are the things that matter. And, you know, Hurts moved it forward, and ultimately I think Lamar benefits from it, Burrow, Herbert, those guys benefit from it, and that's a good thing for players.
I also do think the Baltimore Ravens are looking at it and thinking, thank you, Philadelphia. No fully guaranteed contract. You're doing us a favor. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us as he does every week on a Tuesday. Tim, appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tim. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025, 1063, the game.
Carries. Pavelski in the left point corner. Backhands one off the outside of the net and goes flying. He gets blown. And as you would expect, the Stars are defending Pavelski, and that's Domi throwing haymakers.
Bit of a controversial hit last night. It's kind of sent shockwaves throughout the hockey world in the Wild Stars game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. So this was Matt Dumba of the Minnesota Wild and Joe Pavelski. And Joe Pavelski, where it's kind of set up, he's kind of really just standing there by the net. He gets rid of the puck. And this Minnesota Wild player just comes up and absolutely bodies him. And it was a scary hit. Joe Pavelski was laying on the ice, pretty much lifeless for a couple of seconds. He has to get helped off the ice. He's kind of wobbling, doesn't look very sure of himself. It was a scary, scary hit to watch. Initially called a major. And I was watching it with some people last night. I said, that's a major. That absolutely is a major. And then it gets under review and demoted down to a minor. I honestly thought it should have been a major hit, but a very, very, very scary hit in the game last night.
And it's been really interesting to look at the wide range of opinions on this. And that happens all the time in hockey, which is why it's very, very tough to officiate. But it got me thinking a lot. And the three of us, and Derek, you were right in there during this era. You've experienced the evolution of hits like this in football and hockey. There are some parallels, right, where the leagues, because of the concussion factor, have tried to tone down vicious hits, which used to be celebrated. Right, and hockey was no different than football, where you put together reels for NFL used to sell those tapes, right? Like NFL Films presents crunching hits or something like that, and it would be
a series
of plays.
Was it jacked up?
It was celebrated.
Jacked up.
You could have five or six of them, right? Uh-huh. You could have a collection, and now like every single hit that's put on those things would not be suitable today. They would be, targeting, 15 yards, all of the ejections, all of these things. Hockey has had a process. I do think that in hockey, there still is that gusto in the playoffs where they're allowed to ramp up the intensity just a little bit more. I am curious that in the regular season, would that have still been downgraded to a two-minute roughing call after review? I don't know. I think the league would tell you yes, but I have my doubts. Now, here's the league's position on this for those that didn't see this last night. By rule now, and you didn't used to be able to do this, you can call a five-minute major, but then say, we're going to review it. Mm-hmm. You didn't used to be able to do it. In fact, there was a play involving Joe Pavelski when he played for the Sharks where you couldn't review it, and it was a bad call. And the Sharks got a five-minute major penalty, and they went to town, scored four goals during the five-minute major, and won a Game 7 against the Vegas Golden Knights for a call that should have been downgraded to a two-minute minor. So Joe Pavelski's been on the other side of this. So it's really ironic that this happens to him. And Joe Pavelski is a huge, huge factor for the Stars. And you knew right away. It looked a lot like Philip Forsberg against the Flyers. It looked like Tua. You know, a guy, he could not get his bearings.
He was just
he needed help coming off the ice. He was wobbly. So, I mean, he is concussed. There's no two ways about it, right? So he's going to be out maybe for the whole series.
And when
so that's a series-changing hit.
When he did get hit, because he was kind of hit from below almost, like above the shoulders, but it was almost like Dumba, like pushed him up from underneath. And when he hit the ice, it looked like his head was the first thing to hit.
Right.
Or maybe it was his shoulder and his head knocked against the ice. But for
the
most
part, yeah.
The head took a good bit of the blow when he landed on the ice.
See, and I get both sides of it, you know. Of the argument in a sense, but to the, you know, well, in the playoffs, we're going to let a couple of things fly. Why? Doesn't his health means just as much in the playoffs as it does the regular season or regular season as it does the playoffs? To me, that's an asinine statement or way to think.
Yeah,
like,
the answer should be obvious.
We're gonna
let it
ramp up a little bit more in the playoff. His health is the same. Doesn't it mean the same in the regular season or the playoffs? I mean, it shouldn't matter. Oh, now that we're in the playoffs, we're gonna let some things sort of slide a little bit. That doesn't make sense.
Traditionally, that's how the game has been celebrated. Hey, playoff hockey. It's another level.
Exactly.
It's another level, winning in the playoffs. The guys ratchet up, and that's what you love about it. Mm-hmm. But there are a set of consequences that go with it. I do think the NFL has done a pretty good job protecting the quarterbacks, and it annoys us a lot. And the hits over the middle of the field, some of the things they've toned down, I do think they stay pretty consistent in the playoffs. I think they do. In the NHL, I wonder. Now, the league's position is they reviewed it, and the initial contact was not to the head. Dumba did catch Pavelski low, and Pavelski's stick hit him in the head, and then his head hit the ice. That's the position. The other thing was it a late hit? And it's borderline. But the league does put a clock on it, and they say, because obviously the referee's got to see this in real time, and they put a clock on it if it's 0.5 of a second. Now think about how quick
that's half quick.
Of a second is.
But
if it's within the 5/10 to 6/10, it is not deemed to be a late hit. So that's been their position, that it was just barely within the window of Pavelski being eligible to be hit. So he right on the borderline was able to say that was a legal hit and a roughing call and not a 5-minute major. But I still think that you look at the way he follows through on that is a I'm going after Joe Pavelski. And that's been kind of that playoff hockey, right?
But my thing is they have to find a way to sort of curb this sort of play. Because to me, if anything, this is a defenseless individual. Where he probably, I understand, keep your head on a swivel and that. And stuff
right,
like,
right. The crispyism.
Exactly. No, it's about protecting one another as players. That's what it's about. That's why the NFL, it's not that the NFL made the rule change. That's great. But guys started to realize, like, I need to protect that guy, too, because he has a family as well. Yes, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play physical and hard and fast, but these rules are put in place, and I am not, more than likely, I am not going to go over that because it's not only I don't want to get fined, but I don't want to potentially end this guy's career. 20, 30 years, they didn't care. It was a part of it. People celebrated. Now this group of players thinks totally different. It's, you know, I am not going to take that, you know, shot. Even though I got it, I'm not going to take it the way I probably would have taken it 15 years ago. I'm going to ease up a little bit because he's not really paying attention. He see me, but he don't see me. But I know if I go full throttle, what I do can impact this man's career moving forward. So I'm going to pull back. And I think that's the consensus around the NFL with players. Like, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to hit you, but I'm not going to go that necessary mile to try to hurt you. I'm going to hit you and make you realize I'm here, but I'm not trying to hurt you.
Until
hockey as a whole, and it's got to start with the players. Until they put their skate down and say, damn it, we're tired of this. I don't want to hurt the guy across from me. I don't want to end his career. He has a family just like I have a family. Mm-hmm. So until the players put their sticks and our eyes down like enough is enough, the NFL is going to continue to celebrate this and continue to go about their business. They are. Why? Because of this. They feel if they change anything and take some of it out, people are not going to be as interested anymore.
So was that the case with football?
It was, but then football found out, like, we really don't need it.
Exactly.
We really don't need it.
It's different. Like, exactly. We might hearken back and say, man, it used to be great. That guy would have gotten blown up 20 years ago.
Exactly. Remember but now the NFL is like, we can survive without those big hits.
Right. People are still watching.
Exactly.
People are still watching.
And hockey has to realize that. You are going – the loyal fans, even the one that loves fighting and all that other stuff, if you slowly pull back on some of that stuff, just like anything, we may hate it, not necessarily me because I'm not with the fighting stuff, but it's hockey. I get it. But the diehards, they may fight against it for a while, but eventually they're going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to watch it. Anybody that tells you, well, if you take fighting out of hockey, we're not watching hockey anymore – That's a lie. I have to believe that's a lie. Because if you're a diehard hockey fan, you're not going to stop watching. That's like a diehard football fan saying, well, if you don't change the rules on a quarterback where they can just smash a court, I'm going to stop watching. No, you're going to continue to watch. You may not like what they're doing or like the rules change, but you're going to continue to watch it. Why? Because you love the sport.
And I think that anyone, hockey fans, casual hockey fans, hockey diehards, would say, I'd much rather watch a playoff series with all of your top players and top contributors healthy rather than some of your top contributors not being able to contribute because they're concussed from a big hit. It's the same thing goes with fighting. That's a discussion we had with Elliot Friedman when the GMs were talking about, you know, extra penalties for fighting, unnecessary fighting, fighting when there's not a penalty or fighting when there's not a big hit. And a lot of GMs are looking at it like, our product is better, our team is better when we don't put them at risk of some of these dumb, unnecessary injuries. But let's get back into this coming up next. I see your thoughts on this, and we'll get into this coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 125, 106.3 The Game. And also is the NFL's best NFL draft coverage, too. I will venture to say that.
Yeah.
Join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville on Friday, April 28th. So we're breaking down the big hit, the controversial hit in the Wild Stars playoff game last night. And it was originally called a major penalty, under review, was ultimately called a minor penalty. And I'll look at it like this. Hey, if the NHL wants to set the tone early of what's going to be allowed in the Stanley Cup playoffs, fine. But understand that you're setting a precedent. The big hits like that we saw last night, you've told everyone that's okay. So it is free reign for hits like that. And it was announced that the NHL Player Safety
Department
will not have a hearing on this hit. So that's fine. But that is now the precedent that has been set. And they cited the fact that it wasn't a late hit. It was maybe right on the cusp, and that's why they're not going to have a hearing for it. I don't think the worst part of the hit was the timing. It was a little bit late, but I don't think egregiously late. I think it was just the nature
of
the
hit. But he could have held back a little bit.
He could have held back. He didn't even
have a puck. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. But that's how the playoffs traditionally have gone. And so you're right. the players police themselves. That's why fighting has been the game. It's less so in the playoffs, but you know that Matt Dumba, they're going to be all over him the rest of the series.
Oh.
Absolutely.
But that is part of the element of playoff hockey, is who is the meanest dude in the Valley? Who's the meanest team in the Valley? You know, intimidation and toughness has always been part of the element, right? It's not just a game of skill. It's a blend of who's got the best skill and who can intimidate and allow their skill to do their thing. So it's always gone in kind of cycles a little bit, but the game has trended more towards the skill and the speed and the safety, right, as you come to it. So now that this has happened and it's been deemed, that hit was okay. Now let's see what the fallout is from that.
Yeah, but to me, to not even, regardless of, okay, whether you think it was late, wasn't it late, and you know, egregious, not egregious, there still should have been a hearing on it. Like, okay, let's really look at this and make sure that, you know, we are putting the safety of our players first. Let's look at this, analyze this, see what we can do if this was to have ever happen again. But for you to look at it a few times and say, oh, we don't need no hearing, go on about your business, you don't give a damn about your players. I would say that about football, too. I would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're showing right now that you don't give a damn about your players' safety. You don't. Because if you allow the physicality to sort of ramp up in the playoffs, then you don't care about your players. You just care about what people see on television. That's what you care about. You don't care about, you know, this guy laying on the ice. Why? Because you didn't then. No, I'm not asking that you suspend the guy. Go back and at least show that you are willing to look at the play and potentially in the future change some things. What you did was say, hey, wasn't nothing wrong with it. He'd be all right. Hopefully he'd be ready for next game. If not, the Stars, Dallas Stars, better pick up another player and get to rolling. But like Willie said, next game, they're going to be coming out for a vengeance, and it might get worse.
Tomorrow night is game two of that series. Appointment watching.
Oh, yes.
And that's probably how the NHL won.
Well, and, you know, that's always been sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And also, Minnesota is built a little bit more for that type of game than Dallas is. So Minnesota is like, okay, you want to change how you play a little bit? You want to try to be reckless,
you wanna
be rough? You want to be retribution? Might throw you off your game. Mm-hmm. You know, where we can, if you want to play that way, that's fine with us. Because who do they have? Mr. Ryan Reeves, who is the biggest, baddest dude out there and has been for a long time. And so if you want, he will really enjoy that kind of game if you want that. And they got a little more toughness. Mm-hmm. Dallas has got a little more skill. Now they're playing without Pavelski, who's an important guy. So Minnesota, and they won the game in overtime. They tied the game not long after that. It goes all the way into double overtime. And of who else? Ryan Hartman. It always seems to be right in the middle of everything. He scores the game-winning goal. So Minnesota takes round one. Pavelski's out. So, Dallas has got a lot to deal with here. They're going to have to really be careful mentally how they handle this. It's great drama, though.
Yeah.
Drama. The people love the drama. Let's get your thoughts on it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike is on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to weigh in on this because I played football, you know, just till senior in high school, and I played rugby too. But I just remember, like, in the moment when guys are playing competitive, especially like in the playoffs, the adrenaline's going and the caveman kind of comes out. And I specifically remember certain players, like on the other team, where it's like, we got to take this guy out. And not saying take him out of the game, but we got to rattle him so hard that he thinks about the next time he comes across the middle or comes up running full speed, like he's like, we're not going to touch him. And when the adrenaline's running, it's really hard to tell a guy, hey, man, pull back, especially if it's something like the playoffs, championships are on the line. Some of these guys don't care if they're going to get fined. It is what it is. And at the end of the day, they're just trying to improve their chances to win. So I don't really think the league is going to be able to stop certain players from doing their natural instincts of being a gladiator and just laying the lick on somebody. And that's just going to be the case forever in physical contact sports, whether it be fighting, football. Some of these guys some guys are just dogs out there, and Derek has seen it. I mean, Sean Taylor, do you think he really, David, cared? I mean, he would just lay you out with overs. Didn't care, and that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, thanks for your call,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you, Mike. He's right in regards to the mentality of some players. But I think you're getting further and further away from that mentality. Why? Because the NFL just didn't say, this is what we're doing. Pee Wee League said, okay, we're taking, you know, the lead from the NFL, and we're doing it. The seventh and eighth graders are saying, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. The high schoolers are saying, we're doing it. Colleges are saying, we're doing it. So by the time they get in the NFL, it's already ingrained in their mind. Like, listen, this, we can play the game fast and physical, but there are things that we are not going to do because it was taught to us long ago. If the NHL wants to change it, and they probably, you know, want to, I don't know, but it starts at the lower levels first, and then it works its way up to the NHL. But the NHL has to spearhead it. They have to be the ones that say, listen, this is what we're looking for moving forward. So all of you gladiators or old school guys, either you're in it and do what we ask you to do, or you're going to be ran out the league very quickly. It happened in the NFL. Those guys that were just hell-bent on doing things their way and hitting guys a certain way, they are not in the league no more. Mm-hmm. They're not. Those guys are gone. They're far. I remember Pollard. He's a great one. Pollard would hit you and wouldn't bat an eye and at the safety position. And eventually his play doesn't mesh with what the NFL is doing. Not to say that, I mean, plus he was an older guy, so he ended up retiring anyway. But I don't know how much long he would have been able to continue to play without being fined consistently over and over again in today's football. Because if you're not going to change the nature of which you play, then the NFL is going to say, eventually, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm. James Harrison comes to mind.
Yeah, James Harrison the same way.
You know, it.
Oh, what was the Cincinnati Bingo guy?
Oh, yeah.
It started with a B. Brunsko, his last name, Perfect.
Perfect.
He was utterly because of that.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. The word you also hear in football is unnecessary roughness.
Yes.
Exactly.
You don't hear that in hockey. That would be. Look, within the letter of the law, he's right on the line. Mm-hmm. Dumba's hit. They have through the league, and they reviewed it. To their credit, it's not like they just didn't review it. And people in Toronto, it's not just the referees. It's everybody's opinion was it was within the rules. No hearing after, even the aftermath from player safety. It's borderline. But what you don't hear is unnecessary. That's where I look at the way Dumba follows through. It's hard for me to sit here and say, and Dumba has done this before. There's other examples you can find on YouTube of him, you know, trying to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, quote, part of the game. If it's within the rules, guys are going to keep doing it. But if you have this unnecessary, like, it's a foul, do we want those hits in the game? That's what the hockey, like you said, the players mm-hmm. are the ones that have to really set the tone. And I think it's trending away from hits like that. Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, you still see it like that.
Well,
was that necessary for him to jack up Pavelski like he did? I think you could argue no.
And I meant Bernard Pollard when I just said Pollard.
People are like, not Tony
Pollard. It was Bernard Pollard.
Bernard Pollard.
And
no
Pollard
question.
Was a hard-hitting safety.
Yes, he was.
Like, he was a guy, like, when you go across the middle, you better make sure you know where he's at because he's coming
and
downhill.
And he was effective because
exactly.
of that.
And but his style of play, if he continued to play,
it trended away
from
that style.
It takes away his aggressiveness because the NFL is saying, listen, we know what type of player you are, Bernard Pollard. And 5 years ago, that was great. Mm-hmm. This is what we wanted. But now, we're trying to get further away from that. And maybe some guys couldn't quite adjust or didn't want to quite adjust to that type of play. And good thing for Bernard, he was sort of at the tail end of his career anyway. I won a Super Bowl with Baltimore, and I think he came here after that,
mm-hmm.
I believe. So he was sort of at the tail end of his career anyway. But guys like Bernard Pollard or Perfect or those guys, they're not in the NFL no more. They're just not. Why? Because they're taught at a younger age, you can be aggressive, but don't go over the line.
And that's why, to the caller's point, hockey, football, they're physical sports. Mm-hmm. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to turn into a bunch of Care Bears out there mm-hmm. and barely even touch one another. There is going to be a level of physicality in both of those games that is unmatched of any other sport out there. The games are always going to be physical, even when football has kind of evolved from a you go for the headshot, you try and hit him as hard as you possibly can. Sean Payton, you know, paying defensive players to hit opponents harder than
supposedly,
you know,
Greg
supposed
Williams.
To. So even though it's evolved, it's still mm-hmm. a very entertaining product, but you're able to take care of the players mm-hmm. for the longevity. How many players out there have we seen that we say, eesh, you know, we think that there might be something going on mentally, and it's because of their careers either in football or in hockey. Mm-hmm. So the games themselves are always going to be inherently physical, but it's, to Willie's point, the unnecessary mm-hmm. roughness. But the NHL not having a hearing or ultimately deciding to downgrade it from a major to a minor shows that, hey, we want that kind of level of physicality in the game. Let's get one more of your thoughts very quickly. Nate is on the line. What's up, Nate?
Hey, y'all. Caroline, you mentioned the Department of Player Safety. Even now, and going back ever since George Parros was put in charge of the Department of Player Safety, I don't trust them, because George Parros was a goon when he played. And, yeah, maybe the league has changed, but I guarantee his mindset hasn't. So what we deem might be a bad hit, an illegal hit, he might be going back to when he played and thinking, oh, that was nothing compared back to when I played. Yes, the Pavelski hit was pretty rough, and from based on what I've seen and heard, it seems legal. It just had a terrible outcome. Like I said, whenever I hear the Department of Player Safety uttered, I almost ignore it.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Nate. That is one thing. I don't think that the outcome should dictate the punishment. Like, I don't think that if a player
and
gets
do say
really
that.
Hurt, that should change the penalty at all. You should go yeah. by the rule book, go by the hit, not necessarily the outcome. But I do think sometimes inherently we all as observers and watchers of the game kind of get influenced a little bit by what happens and the effect and the outcome. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your thoughts on that. But I have said throughout this draft process that I just wish I had a very unbiased way of looking at all of these quarterbacks. So I'll present that to Willie and D-Mays coming up next. The mystery quarterback draft. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 106, for the game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.